Okay, so welcome back to the Stoppage Time podcast for episode 2 with me, Ethan Morland. So, interesting midweek fixtures this week. Some decent results that have come through. Some upsets. Liverpool, you know, got to bring them up first, being a Liverpool fan. If I'm being honest, I predicted a 2-2 draw. I couldn't see where we were getting the 3 points from in this game. And to be honest, I can't watching the game at fucking 5 in the morning, I can't tell you how made up I was to see Fabio Carvalho put that ball in the back of the net in the 98th minute. Ridiculous scenes. Like, yeah, oh, it's only Newcastle, this, that, the other, but Newcastle are a strong, strong side. And Alexander Isak is looking ridiculous. Like, I don't... This kid, he's 22. He's 22 and he's performing like that against one of the best teams in Europe. Yes, given we are having some defensive troubles. Alexander-Arnold is non-existent at the back. I don't fucking understand why he is not getting... He's not tracking back. Like, he's just not... He's not there. Like, both... Yes, the offside goal and the first goal, he was nowhere to be seen for either. And it was infuriating to watch because, you know... You see Robertson putting the effort in to get back, so why can't he on the other side? Like, it's yes, he's getting forward a lot, this, that, the other, but this, if you're playing that role of, like, this attacking fullback, you also have to track back. It doesn't mean you can slack off, which he is doing, and I'm not sure why he's doing it more often now. It's just, I don't know, he's not showing that, like, that fight to get there, and it's causing us problems at the back, and it looks like Van Dijk and Gomez are having a bit... Like, they're not connecting the way that Van Dijk and Matip or Van Dijk and Konate do. So, you know, but to see us come away with a 2-1 win against them, I was more than happy with that. Like, when I thought he was onside for that second goal, and it was just infuriating to watch it more than anything. But, like, you look at the stats, We were all over them. 72% possession, 23 shots on goal, 6 on target compared to their 5 and 2. Almost tripled their passes as well, and pass accuracy almost 20% better than theirs. It shows the level of quality we have in the team, but it just shows there's not this all round chemistry throughout the squad. And then we go in here, obviously transfer deadline day has just been and gone. Here that Artur Melo from Juventus has come and signed. I'll just say this. I don't understand signing a player that's played just 20 times in the past 2 years. He's injury prone. He's, you know, he was out for such a long time, having had surgery on his leg because of the calcification between the tibia and fibula. I just don't understand why you're looking to solve an injury crisis with an injury-prone player. Yes, he's good. Yes, he fills that sort of number 8 role that we need. But pick someone without his history. Like, he's not played more than 80 games for each club that he's played for. Like, it doesn't. And at 26, it just, to me, it's not a decent signing. Like. For, like, yes, he's a good player, but in terms of, like, covering an injury crisis, it's not what I want to see. That's not the kind of player that I would like to be bringing in. Like, for me, bringing in the likes of Carlos Soler from Valencia would have been a better option. Yes, he has obviously moved on and he's gone to PSG, but he's the kind of guy that we should have been bringing in. He's 25 years of age, so he's sort of coming into his prime, not quite there yet. He captained Valencia. He's, you know, more than 200 appearances for Valencia in that time too. And he's only, like, he's not gone for much money. He's played for Spain too. Like, this guy's got experience, but... And I don't know. But I'll save that for another podcast. I've got a friend coming on where we're going to talk about the transfer market, each team, you know, Nottingham Forest basically able to take a team to the World Cup with a 23-man squad of signings near enough, you know, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, getting back to the results from the Premier League, 2-1. I'll take a 2-1 against Newcastle. Like, you know, it keeps us in the run a bit. I feel like if we drew this one, it was hard to see where we're going to gain points back on City. You know, they just look so dominant. Like, how can we not talk about Erling Haaland? Erling Haaland is a madness. He is an anomaly, that kid. Absolute anomaly. Two hat-tricks in 5 days. 9 goals in 5 games in the Premier League. There was, oh, I can't remember the idiot's name. He was like saying how disrespectful it was to say Erling Haaland would be the Golden Boot winner at the end of the season. And it's like, how can you not see it? He is like he's the epitome of great strikers. Like, he's got all these attributes that just scream a great striker at you. Like, he's big, he's tall, his awareness on the pitch, he makes the runs in behind, he's strong enough to hold off defenders, as we saw against Crystal Palace, like, and against Nottingham Forest, he was just always in the right position for a tap-in, and that is exactly what you want from a striker, from that number nine. And 9 goals already this season. I think 40-plus goals this year for him. I think that just in the Premier League, I think he's going to have one of those Messi and Ronaldo seasons in La Liga where, you know, 50 goals in a season. That's if he can stay fit. If he can't stay fit, then, you know, it's going to be a bit of an issue. But if this kid can stay fit, oh my God, he is going to be scary. I am not looking forward to facing City later in the season. I feel like he's going to run right around our defence. Absolutely. Trent not tracking back and all that, I think he's just going to fucking run right around us. And it's going to be a scary watch, to be honest. And then, you know, Julian Alvarez as well got his, I think it was his first start for City, where, you know, they played two up top, him and Haaland, and gets 2 goals himself. One of them an absolute banger as well. Like, this kid looks good. He looks like quite whippy. He can, you know, he's quick to turn. His visualization of where he's got to be is very, very good. And I'm liking the look of him. Obviously, he's an up-and-comer. He's like sort of a backup to Haaland. But I can see this kid also having a bright, bright future, if I'm quite honest with you. But yeah, so moving on from that 6-0 to Forest, we'll go to Arsenal, where, you know, I think Gerrard, he's going to be the next out. He's going to be the next out. It just doesn't look good for him. Like, it's so tough. Like, Arsenal look great and all that. They're having a bit of a midfield crisis. Like, they tried to sign Douglas Luiz, but obviously Aston Villa rejected that. They rejected 3 bids that I'm aware of, ranging from 20 to 25 million. Gabriel Jesus, again, looking like he's on fire. Like, you can't knock the guy. And and then Douglas Luiz scores his 3rd corner of the season. He scored 1 in pre-season, 1 in midweek, last midweek against in the Carabao Cup, and then obviously 1 against Arsenal, which is a ridiculous thing to do. Like, getting 1 in your career is enough. Like, getting 3 in less than a year is a madness. Saka is looking great for Arsenal. He just is he knows, for such a young lad, I feel like he's got so much experience, and he's so, like, knowledgeable on the ball. You know, I feel like when he knows how to deal with pressure, obviously missing the penalty in the Euro final, and then him and, like, Ødegaard as well. Ødegaard coming from, obviously, Real Madrid from 15 to, what, like, his 20s. Like, the kid has had the spotlight on him for years. And this team just screams talent, but also these young players with they look experienced. Like Saliba, he's not even in his mid-20s yet. He looks ridiculously good at the back for them. Ben White is seeming to have a better season than last year as well. And then, obviously, Gabriel Martinelli getting a goal. He just looks, I don't know, he looks frightening. I feel like he's just going to get better and better as the season goes on. And Gabriel at the back is also, I feel like that Saliba and Gabriel at the back, that partnership, is very, very good. Yes, last week he did struggle, like, he obviously with the mistake that led to the goal against Fulham, but then he came back, got a goal himself. Like, there's a big fight in them, and it's good to see from Arsenal. But yeah, man, Villa don't look good. They don't look connected as a team. They look like they're really, really struggling to figure out their starting 11 and their, you know, the formation they want to go with. They get a goal back, and then it's like they just switch off, and obviously Arsenal go and get a goal 3 minutes later. And it's like, when you're in the situation Villa are in, that's not what you can't be doing that. You've got to be on it all the time, and they just don't look great. Like, obviously Boubacar Kamara looks decent in midfield for them. They've just signed Leander Dendonker. He could be decent for them, but I don't know. Coutinho he's looking off it. Leon Bailey's never really looked right for them. Ollie Watkins, Danny Ings, both struggling. Like, I feel like everyone in that team has come to this point of really bad form. Like, Martinez, for the Martinelli goal, probably could have got a better hand to it. But, you know, it's all well and good saying that. But, it just seems like another mistake for him. Arsenal doing well. Obviously, 5 wins from 5. And then, you can't really fault them so far. But moving on, we'll go with Chelsea. Man, they don't look cohesive, is the best way to describe it. Like, as a squad, I feel like the way Todd Bowley's come in and just gone, here you are, here's all my money, spend it. You sign in all these players like Mark Cucurella when you got Ben Chilwell. I don't really understand why you're paying 65 million for a player who's had one decent season in the Premier League when you got Ben Chilwell. Yeah, Ben Chilwell's had his injuries and that, but he's a much better player than Cucurella is, and I can't bring myself to understand why they would make that decision. But, and then, you know, they bring in the likes of, they've brought in Aubameyang, which, to be honest, I think is a decent stepping stone to getting the right number 9 in. Obviously, with Lukaku gone, they don't really have a number 9, so I feel like bringing him in is going to do them really good. In terms of having that man up top to sort of be that poacher more than anything. Koulibaly doesn't look settled in the team. Kai Havertz just doesn't suit the way they're playing. And, like, yeah, Raheem Sterling, he's settling in well, but I feel like once you get that main man, the number 9 up top, I feel like Sterling will settle into that sort of more wide position, and it'll suit his style of play much, much more. It's like they switched off towards the end of that first half. Like, you got to give props to Southampton. Hasenhüttl, man, he's 2-9-0 losses at Southampton, goes on really shit runs, and then all of a sudden bags a win against the likes of Chelsea, and then all of a sudden everything's happy-go-lucky, and his job isn't on the line anymore. They made a couple signings from young City players on deadline day. I feel like they'll have an all right season. I don't know. Southampton are just one of them. They go through like a stage of 2 or 3 shit games. You think Hasenhüttl's going to be out, then all of a sudden they bang in a win, 2-1 against Chelsea that no one expected, and you know they're coming out with it. But you can't fault them. But Bazuna in net for them is looking like a strong, strong goalkeeper. I don't know. I think they'll probably finish mid-table this year, but Chelsea look like they're struggling. But we'll see once they bring Aubameyang in how that's going to do for them. This was an interesting one. The Palace-Brentford game. Brentford obviously did very, very well to get a goal at the end. They could have won it, Ben Mee hitting the bar, but Wilfred Zaha said it best. He came out at the end of the game and he was very, very honest. He was like, we just switch off. We go into defensive mode after we get one goal. And he's like, why are we doing that? Why are we not pressing for that second? And I completely agree with him. Against a team like Brentford as well, you can't be stepping back and allowing them to attack. They're going to get goals. They play very well together as a team, Brentford do, and you know they've got this building out the back style of play which works for them. But yeah, I feel like Palace should have kept that same intensity that they had before the goal, it was a great goal from Zaha, but yeah, they just seem to have switched off, and I don't know, they've lost out on the 3 points there, and they're not having the sort of the best go of it at the minute. They're currently sat in 13th. You know, one win, two draws, two losses. It's not the start they probably wanted, but I mean, to take 5 points from your first five games when you've played the likes of City, Liverpool, Arsenal, I think it's all right. I think it's all right there, but they could have got more from it. They definitely could have got more, especially like against City, this game against Brentford, things like that. But yeah, they're moving on to Fulham and Brighton. Mitrovic is, I don't know, under Marco Silva, he's a completely different man, and I'm happy for him. We all thought he was this guy who couldn't do it in the Premiership, and now he's got 5-5. Can't fault him. And Pereira, ex-Man United man, who we all thought was done for. We thought his career in Europe was pretty much done and gone. Looking like a different man. Marco Silva's obviously seen this in him, brought him in, sort of found it how he wants him to play, and he's playing so well. Like, I put him in my fantasy team, and he was one of them. Like, you just have him on the bench because he's cheap, and then he's bagging points for me. Like, he's now obviously my starting 11, but yeah, great game for them. They're having a great start to a Premier League season, their best in years. Obviously, ending Brighton's run of being unbeaten, but it's like I said on Tuesday, the Brighton struggle with these midweek games when fixtures cluster together. I feel like they don't have the depth to deal with it, and they haven't won. So now in seven games last season, they hadn't won a midweek game, and now they've not won again. So that's eight in a row of midweek Premier League games that they've really, really struggled with. But that obviously puts Brighton in fourth. So that, you know, it's not like they're doing anything wrong. And then brings Fulham up to eighth on level on points with Liverpool, obviously. But yeah, Mitrovic is looking like a problem this year. And then obviously Leno as well, like he's fitting in well with that squad. He obviously won game time and it's working out for him. So it looks, to me, if they keep this up, obviously they're going to stay in the Premier League, and it looks like it's a good decision from him to leave Arsenal and go to a team like this. But yeah, then we'll go on to the Leeds-Everton game. Everton, you know, Anthony Gordon, fair play to him. With all the talk around him moving to Chelsea, he's kept his head on. Scored 2-2, but they still look like they're struggling for that end product. Damari Gray obviously got a second that was chalked offside, which was bullshit. It was like it wasn't even his shoulder that was offside, and I'm like, because I was watching the game, I was like, how can you justify that? Like, it's not a blatant and obvious offside. I can't understand VAR. It's really ruining the game because they're like, they're coming to these decisions which are hairline, and we would be better if they just left them and go, you can't blatantly see it, we'll just leave it. Should have been a goal, should have stood. But Sinisterra scored a decent goal on his first start for Leeds as well. You know, I think Everton bringing in the two midfielders in James Garner from United and Idrissa Gueye from PSG, I think is really, really good. I think they've obviously bolstered sort of every aspect of the team, but the striker position is still a bit of a struggle with bringing in Neil Mopay. I can't see where he's getting many goals. Calvert-Lewin, injury prone, as I said, Championship striker at best. Even being honest, I don't really understand why they sent out Ellis Sims on loan to Sunderland this season, because he's bagging for them. I feel like he could have played Premier League football. Everton are going to be in a relegation scrap, let's be honest. But he could have probably done a job up top for them. It maybe could have been something that they sort of tried at the first start half of the season. If it didn't work, then send him out alone for the second half. You can't, I don't know, in the situation they're in, where they've not really got a week in, week out striker, you can't be sending a lad like that out on loan. But yeah, Everton still without a win. And I don't know, I can't see where the first win's coming from yet, if I'm honest. I can't see much of a change, but I feel like they've got to give Lampard time to push through what he's wanting to do. Like, signing James Garner, very, very good decision from them. He's, you know, very experienced player in the Championship. He wasn't going to get much game time at Manchester United. And for 9 million up front and, you know, 6 in add-ons, it's a bargain for him. It's an absolute, if it works out, it's an absolute bargain. So it's a risk with, well, it's very low risk. So I think, you know, very good business from them. Next, Bournemouth Wolves. Not much to say on that. Decent from Bournemouth to come and get at least a draw, you know, after sacking Scott Parker. Really needed the point. But Wolves look like they look lost. They look like they don't really know what to do. Obviously, Jimenez hasn't scored since, I think, the start of the year. They just don't... I don't see where goals are coming from for them. And I don't see where wins are coming from, if I'm honest. They're really, really struggling. And obviously, getting rid of Connor Cody, I don't think, has helped Willie Bolly. These senior figures in the team that, you know, probably have a decent amount of influence on players. I think it's not, that's not helped them at all. Yes, Neves is, you know, he's quite loud on the pitch, but I don't see him in the same light as I did Connor Cody in that, you know, that mentor role that he holds for them. But yeah, they're just not looking great this year. Then West Ham, Tottenham. West Ham should have won that. Tottenham didn't, they obviously started well. They got the goal through an own goal, but yeah, West Ham all over them in the second half. There's not much else to say than that. They should have beaten, absolutely, well and truly should have beaten. But they got a point against a tough side who we are, you know, we're saying they're going to get top four this season. Thomas Suchet with the goal. They're looking good. They've spent the money. I feel like the players they brought in are going to do a decent job. Lucas Paqueta got a little bit of a shout, a little run out on Wednesday night, and yeah, they're looking like they're building. And if we give them time, they're gonna eventually get there. And then obviously last night, United played Leicester. Didn't watch it, but United 3 wins on the bounce. No Maguire, and no Luke Shaw. What does that tell you, you know? I feel like, from what I've heard, they didn't have a great second half, but I feel like they've now found their sort of defensive partnership with that, you know, Varane, Martinez, Dalot, and then Malacia at the back. I feel like that's working very, very well for them. Ronaldo not starting again. I don't want to be around that dressing room with Ronaldo starting five games on the bench. Just wouldn't want to be there. Then Leicester, obviously, Brendan Rodgers hasn't been given the money to spend this summer. He's brought in some lad, I have no idea who he is. And they look like they've just lost hope already. They look like they look lost. Obviously losing four games on the bounce, fans were booing. And you can see why they're doing that, but I feel like the fans are going to have to get behind Brendan Rodgers because this isn't his fault. He's probably wanted to go and spend money, but obviously the money they've spent on the new facilities, the club have gone, no. So they're getting rid of these decent players like Fofana, and then they're sort of left with this squad that, you know, they wanted to build, they wanted to bolster it, but they've not obviously not been given the permission to. Yeah, so moving on to the game week 6 fixtures. We've got the derby, Everton versus Liverpool. Let's go. I feel like this, you know, Liverpool are going to walk away with this one. It's Everton. Yeah, you can't see where they're getting the points. So I just think it's going to be a walkover. Other interesting games, Chelsea-West Ham. I think the form that Chelsea are in, I think they're going to struggle against West Ham, especially the way, if they perform the way they did in the second half against Tottenham, it's going to be a very, very good game. Tottenham-Fulham, that's going to be a good one. Obviously Mitrovic very in form, Pereira very in form. I think that one's going to end up probably in a draw, maybe. Brentford Leeds will be a good one as well. Yeah, there's a lot of decent fixtures this weekend. I feel like we're going to have a good laugh at Steven Gerrard and Aston Villa playing City with the way they're going, you know, like that one I can see being a 5 or a 6-0. Like it's going to be tough for them. United Arsenal, that's going to be a good game. Gary Neville tweeting that they're going to end their unbeaten streak. I don't think they will. I really don't. I think Arsenal are too strong at the minute and they're on too good of a run to let it slide against a team like United who've blatantly been bang average. Like, yeah, they've got wind. They played very, very well against Liverpool, but then since then, it's
sort of plateaued, and obviously against Leicester, from what I've heard, it was very, like, they didn't look very progressive in that second half. And then Newcastle Palace will be a good one to watch. I think Alexander Isak looks a problem, absolute problem. I feel like he'll bag again this weekend. Probably should put him in my fantasy team, but, you know, got injuries, so I've got to sort them out first. And then, yeah, we've got Forest Bournemouth. Not really that interested in that. It's, you know, Forest, it's a strange one because they've signed so many, they signed 20 players, which means this depth they've got in this squad is so large that, like, they could put out probably three or four different starting 11s, you know, in four games, and I can't see how it's going to work, because you bring in that many players, it's always in the past, it usually is for these teams that come up, they bring in X, Y, and Z, all these players, but they don't gel because they've had a less than a pre-season to work together, and yeah, I just don't think it's going to work very well for them. And then Brighton, Leicester, I think Brighton are going to get a win here, and Leicester are really, really going to be struggling with 1 point from six. It's not looking good for them. And then got to talk about it, Old Firm derby up in Scotland, Celtic versus Rangers. Come on, you boys in green, it's going to be such a good game, I think, with obviously both teams unbeaten, but Rangers obviously drew, went down to 9 men in the game before last, but Celtic coming off that 9-0 win last weekend. I don't know. It's a tough one because Rangers are obviously having a very good run of form. They're getting into the Champions League. Celtic, 5 from 5. You know, Celtic, 21 goals scored, 1 against. Sort of shows. This is the problem. I love following Celtic, but the state of the league, they're just so on another level. Like, they are like Premier League level, Celtic and Rangers, and then the rest of them are probably Championship at best. There's no competition there. It's a tough one. Like, but saying that, this game is going to be a very, very good one this weekend. Looking forward to watching it. Going to have my split screen on, Merseyside derby, Old Firm derby. Going to be a great one to watch. And then next midweek, Champions League fixtures are back, baby. Let's go. I can't wait for them. Cannot wait for the Champions League to be back. And it's gonna be so good. And for me as well, because it's like I'm 9 hours ahead in time difference. I just get up in the morning and watch them, you know, before I go to work. Cannot complain whatsoever. So, yeah. Decent midweek fixtures this week, and obviously a decent amount, decent fixtures coming up this weekend. I am looking forward to this weekend's football. I will be back on Monday to give a roundup of the fixtures of the weekend, and then obviously a preview to the Champions League. Thank you very much for listening. Again, follow us on Instagram at podcast.stoppagetime, and also follow us wherever you can get us on Spotify, Google Podcasts. Not sure if we're on Apple Podcasts yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. Nightmare to talk. But yeah, give us a follow where you can, and I appreciate you listening. Thanks again, and cheers, guys. This has been the Stoppage Time Podcast, episode 2.